If you love the Mixing Music Podcast but want deeper, ad-free, technical episodes, we've got you covered. Our Patreon gives you access to over 250 exclusive episodes and new content every single week, all focused on mixing, mastering, and engineering at a high level. For just $4 a month, you get practical tips and techniques that will instantly improve your sound. Join now at MixingMusicPodcast.com/exclusive. To the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me, as always, today is my lovely co-host, Lang Seaside Lou. Sounds like you went to the beach, had shrimp cocktail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nice little spot called Treehouse on PCH. Love going there. I took Anna there for her birthday once, and then we kind of fell in love with the spot. There's a nice little outdoor mall right next to it, too. So, like, after you have, like, a drink or two, you know, have some food, just walk around. Right across the street from the spot literally is the water. So, you can watch people surfing as you're just enjoying yourself. And since it's open roof, like, you're just kicking it, you know. So, after landing back from a weekend in Canada doing shows over there, I don't know. Usually I'm tired. I want to go home, take a shower, but, it was kind of funny. I had one of those like romantic husband moments, when I saw Anna at the airport. She was wearing like a sundress and everything. I'm looking at her. I'm like, I am not wasting the girl. We are not going home. Where are we going? Let's go get lunch. Let's go. Mm-mm. I know I'm tired from the flight and stuff. I woke up crazy early to be here early, but we're going out, you know? And so
Huntington we went there. Beach?
Huntington Beach. Yeah. I just love going there.
Cool.
And once again, it's good for bites, you know, like having some shrimp cocktail or whatever, getting some ribs and whatnot. But they're all like shareable bite plates. Don't go there expecting dinner, but there's plenty of spots to get dinner there. And there's a hotel there. So if you're looking to have a late night and enjoy yourself with your girl, your guy, whatever, honestly, that little bubble of area has a ton of like nightlife going on. And once again, right across the street from the beach. So you could start your morning, go to the beach, go surf. Once again, there's plenty of people surfing right in front of the spot. You walk right across the street, enjoy yourself some drinks, put your stuff in the hotel and, you know, just make it a weekend. Do a beachside weekend.
Nice. That's super cool. I'll look that, yeah. Keep that in mind. All right, today's episode is an important one. It's a question that we get asked a lot. We've probably addressed this before briefly on the episode, but we wanted to dedicate an episode to this specifically because I am having a baby tomorrow. Number three.
Baby daddy.
First girl, number three. We're going from man to man to zone defense. We're officially outnumbered by kids, and it's crazy. I think it's fair to say that I have a unique experience and perspective on this because, by the way, this is our second take of this episode because I was unsatisfied with our first take. But I mentioned in the first take that I am in a objectively weird demographic having a third kid at my age in LA. Now, if we were in Utah, I would be behind, you know, behind
schedule.
Yeah,
you're way behind schedule. You should have had your seventh.
Yeah. But I mean, in LA,
I beat you in one shot.
In LA, this is a big deal. Like working in the music industry, having a third kid at my age is an outlier. I'm an outlier in that situation. And so I want to talk about things that I learned and the question that I've been asked, how do you achieve work-life balance? Especially because I've had more years having a family in a more uncertain period of my career. Many people get some stability and certainty in their careers before considering having a kid. I had a kid while it was still uncertain. And that changes things a little bit. So I have a little bit of a different perspective there. And we want to talk about the main question many people ask, work-life balance. How do you maintain work-life balance as well as with your family, especially having a family and the music career in some place so expensive as LA, right? And I want to talk about that sort of stuff. And this will be hopefully a shorter episode, especially because we're doing this second time in a row and now we're self-editing. The caffeine is now flowing and I'm actually articulate. You can kind of tell on episodes where my IQ is low and I haven't had slept well or the caffeine hasn't hit very hard. But now we're good. So the thing that I wanted to talk about is the perception of what people think it is and then what it is in reality. Now, I've talked to a lot of other people, older, younger, same age, with kids, with other responsibilities, maybe outside of kids, maybe they have a different job or thing like that, right? Where they're balancing different aspects of their life. There's going to be a common thread, which is one, I want to address the perception of work-life balance. Many people perceive work-life balance to be a state of permanence, one that is achieved with hard work, with boundaries, with income, right? So like once I make this much money, then I will finally be able to say no to things, or like I'll finally be able to have balance with my family at home and the things that I'm working on. I finally have the freedom to make that balance. I'm here to tell you that this search for a permanent state of balance is what's going to make you miserable. It's not just impossible to achieve, but is one of the major causes of your suffering, this clinging to the idea of a permanent state of balance. What work-life balance, especially with the family, really is, in reality, is a constant flow of trying your best based mm-hmm. on the situations around you, right? Sometimes because of money, sometimes because of schooling, sometimes because of the area that you live in, your current relationship with your spouse, right? Your current relationship with your kids, right? You might, your current relationship with your clients. Things mm-hmm. are changing and forever will change. This is one of the truths of the universe, is that during this life, things will always be changing.
Yep. Right? The only thing that are absolute are death and taxes.
Right. Exactly. I love that. Things will always, always be changing. And this is a reality that you must accept. Now, they're trying to minimize those changes is fine, but is kind of, it's a good thing. And you work hard and you want to do it, but like you can't cling to that idea. You can't wait until it's finally balanced to do something. Like you have to realize balance is a progress. It's not an end point. It's not a destination. So as long as you have that, you want to be a good dad, or you want to be a good mom, or you want to be a good husband, wife, or whatever, spouse, you want to be a good parent, then you will be able to do so. And you'll constantly adapt and change accordingly with the values and goals that you have in mind at this point in time, with what life is throwing at you at this point in time. So it's not just not real, this idea of a perfect balance. Not only does it not exist, but if you think it exists, you are hurting yourself. You are actually yep. causing suffering. So don't under like if anybody even pretends, like on any other podcast, Lou, we've heard of like people giving advice and stuff like that. Do not be fooled by any self-righteous fool that pretends that they have any sort of completely permanent work-life balance. No, the balance is the attempt at doing so, the progress of doing so. That is the balance. There are systems that people use to maintain levels of balance that are easier, but that in themselves, those systems will change. Those systems, the idea of like the idea of someone wanting to build system means that they're constantly looking to improve. So by the time they build a system, they're still thinking about how can I improve this system, but inherently by nature. So like they're probably going to change over time. So there are ways to make it more efficient. But realize that work-life balance, the point of this episode is me saying work-life balance is something that's always changing based on what you want. It's more of a reflection. And the things of how you're, the way that you're working on it is more of a reflection of how you internally value things. It is partially decisions, but it's also just a natural reflection of what you want. Whether mm-hmm. whether you like, you know. So anyway, that's kind of the basis of this episode. We're like, that's it. We're done. Lou, what do you want to say about that?
Yeah, to be honest, like a good example of work-life balance being a constant change, even in my life, is, you know, and I like to refer back to this post that I made in one of my stories where I asked, you know, do you guys want to see just out of curiosity, how many people actually give a shit about the live sound stuff that I do and how many people want to actually see the studio stuff that I do? And an overwhelming number was based on the studio stuff. The reality is, as much as I'm doing studio stuff, I do just as much live. I actually do a really bad job at posting everything, but if there's things I do post, it's usually about like, okay, cool. I wrapped up this and now I'm spending time with my wife, taking the kids to the theme park, you know, just doing, we don't have our own kids, just to be clear. That's like my goddaughter and my nieces and stuff. But there is no sense of a regular schedule in my life. You know, like the most consistent thing I do work-wise is every morning with DK podcast. That is probably the number one most consistent thing for the last 5 years. Outside of that, you know, I'm in Canada last weekend. I'll be in Texas in a few weeks. I'll be in Europe for 55 or so days or some shit like that. I forget how many. It's going to be like 5.5 weeks. So maybe that's why I'm saying 55. But either way, like I'm going to be hopping around country from country and still maintaining a relationship. And so a lot of my personal dedication, as far as like work-life balance right now, is being home as much as I can or ending my day as early as I can, so I can spend as much time with my wife as I can, because I'm about to spend a fuck ton of time without her. And selfishly speaking, I don't like that. How she feels about it, I know she doesn't like it either. And I'm very conscious of that. But it's not a matter of like, why do you have to be on the road? Why do this? It's like, no, we get what the work is. It still sucks to not be home. So a big point of my life is maintaining my relationship the way that I think I can, and balancing my work with it as well. Because just as much as I wouldn't walk away from my relationship for my work, I think my wife knows that I love my work so much, it'd be very difficult for me to walk away from that too. But if I had to make a decision, I would drop my career for my wife any day. But I'm not gonna fucking do that right now. We don't have a need to do that right now. So, you know, with that said, I like to try to balance as much of my work with my relationship as I can. And the day I have kids, I'm probably going to do the same thing. And that doesn't mean that I need to take more time away from work. It just means I just had to put a little more emphasis on how I maintain some level of balance in an ever-changing type of career. There is no same shit this week as next week. That doesn't exist. I'm working on different records with different people. I'm either mixing or mastering for different clients. I'm doing shows with one artist, and then the next week I'm doing a show with a different artist. One day I'm in California, the next day I'm in fucking Toronto, the next day I'm in Texas. Like, there is no semblance of constance in my life at this moment in time. I would say when we were in the mix, it was a bit more focused as far as how my week was laid out, because a lot of it was being like the in-person manager for the studio. I had office hours for our interns to come in and ask questions and get free education from us and stuff like that. I was also doing shows on the weekend locally more than I was touring and stuff like that. But now that I'm on the road more often than I am home, there is there's a bigger need for me to consciously maintain a work-life balance than there was before. And it's easier than people think. I will say it like that. At first, it doesn't feel that way. At first, it's kind of scary. Like, you don't know what you're necessarily doing for the most part. And you hear all the stories like, for instance, divorce rate in America is what, 50%? It's like really fucking high. And then when you get to like, you know, the entertainment industry where like people are, you know, either on the road, they're locked in the studio, they're whatever, doing whatever. A lot of people dedicate themselves so eagerly early in their career that they're almost never home, which was a tension point early on in my relationship. You know, I was home only at night just to sleep. Then I'd wake up and leave to the studio or to school or to work. At one point I was going to school full-time, working full-time and owned a studio. So I was almost never home. Even when we lived together, I was never home. But once I realized that was an issue, I was able to acclimate and start kind of like understanding, hey, work-life balance is important and I need to be more conscious of it. Nowadays, it's actually become a lot simpler because it's something that I've put into practice. Like, what are the values that I have now and what is important for me to maintain this work-life balance that I have currently. What can change, what is not as important are things that are on my mind. And, you know, I don't make it a habit to say no to projects, but I have said no to certain projects or shows recently that would pay well because I felt that something in my life side of priorities were just outweighing the work side of it. And I knew that it wouldn't cause a major ripple. But yeah, work-life balance, it's scary at first. And it's almost intimidating when you think about it in the context of like, if you're trying to communicate and we talked about this last time, we can touch a little bit on it, but like a boundary, like what is a boundary, right? DK explained it best, so I'll let him explain it. But like, once you find out what your boundaries are and you know how to better communicate them, then you're already kind of in a good spot. But putting too many boundaries too early on is also not a good thing. But DK, if you want to chime in on the boundary side of things, like the difference between setting a boundary is more of an I will or I won't statement than it is a you will or you won't statement.
Yeah, so we could talk briefly about boundaries. People think that boundaries is just limited to the idea of what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do, but they express those boundaries with words like, you need to do this, especially parents, like with kids. Hey, you can't do that. You should do this, right? Like, you need to do this. Boundaries are actually what I myself will do. So for example, like, I am going, like, if you complain or if you argue against our decision, I am going to do this. I am going to, you know,
go to the store,
leave this conversation,
get a pack of cigarettes and never come back.
My goodness, god damn. But like, I am going to do this, right? So boundaries is what you're going to do. And this same thing with like clients and everything like that. It's not so much what you want the clients to do, changing or manipulating another person's systems or another person's behavior. You're changing your own, you're defining your own behavior for your own protection, right? So they define your own actions, not the other person's. Boundaries can be set ahead of time. For example, setting working hours or in response to a violation. For example, ending a conversation. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, that's another thing too. It's like, we talk a lot about boundaries, and I still do think like there is something to be said of like, everybody has different levels of boundaries, and people should, at the beginning of their career, should be more open to not setting up too many boundaries, like still being very open to the idea, if you have a goal of doing well in your career and working with more important people, like being more open to being flexible. Like, flexibility is a big reason why someone will get paid well in this industry. But at the same time, so like, don't get over focused on this idea of boundaries. But at the same time, like, if you've been doing this for a while, if you feel like you're just being run over and you're just afraid to be disagreeable, like, maybe this is something that you should consider. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, cause I mean, boundaries are meant to protect you and stuff, but anything else you want me to say about that?
No, I think it, right? You hit the nail on the head cause. You're right. Like, a lot of times people overfocus on boundaries, and flexibility is kind of a big deal when it comes to early career and even late in career, right? Like, hey, listen, if every time I pay you for a mix, let's say you get to a point where it's $2,000 a mix. Okay, great. But if I only get one mix and every revision costs me $500, you know, and there's no flexibility on that, like, it's probably going to be really hard to really hard to justify paying you. You know, because, or hiring you in general, just because it's like, damn, that's a lot of risk. Like, there's no room for negotiation, no anything. And it's not about negotiating numbers, but sometimes it's just like, listen, I try not to send out too many revisions, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, but it's not your record. You know, like early career complaints is revisions, right? Later in career, you see some of the big guys still sending out like mix 10, mix 11, mix 12. And that's okay. You know, so like as a guy that does a lot of mastering, I'd say I do more mastering than I do mixing at this point in studio. Just because, once again, I've talked about it before on a previous episode where it helps me with my scalability being that I'm constantly on the move. Like if I'm working on a mix and I have to be out of town in 2 days and they want a revision, it's easier for me to update a master on the go than it is for me to update a mix on the go. But, you know, like people will hit me up and be like, hey, we just had the mix revised and we just brought down the drums like 1 dB. As you mentioned, they were just a little loud. Like, can we send it back to you? It's like, yeah, sure. Just send it over. It'll be a quick pop in for me. No worries. I'll just double check it and send it back. Like having just a little bit of flexibility still and just openness to work with the artist, understanding that everything is chaotic, you will get hired more. But being overly flexible to the point where you're just getting stepped over, at a certain point, you know, grow a pair. You know, like if you're, I had an engineer friend of mine where he posted about how one of his, and I don't condone this, but one of his engineers in New York knocked out an artist in the booth. Like just went there was a lot of shit talking going on. He just went in the booth and knocked the guy out, walked out. And I'm like, okay, that's the worst way to handle that. There's a part of me that's like, congratulations for standing up for yourself, but like, why did you do it that way? Like, you're just going to lose clients that way. But to be honest, like being able to say like, hey, listen, we're not going to talk to each other this way. We're not going to treat each other this way. I'm not going to do that to you. So if you continue doing this, I'm just going to walk out. That's okay. You could do that. But putting up boundaries too soon where it's like, hey, I just don't take on sessions overnight. Like some of the biggest records I got to work on were overnight sessions. You know, so having some flexibility early on is great, but maintaining a sense of flexibility throughout your career is very helpful.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. What else did we want to talk about as far as like, work-life balance, state of permanence, impermanence? We talked about boundaries even. Things always change. If you want to have a baby, dude, having babies are great for taxes.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing too. Is there any other advice that I want to give having it?
There's
having
only
children?
One that I think ties back into this, which is like, honestly, if you love what you do, finding the time and the finding a way to make it happen isn't actually that hard, but you have to genuinely love what you do. If this is just something you do for the clout of things and you're just continually doing it for the clout of things, you're going to fizzle out pretty quickly because a lot of other priorities are going to come into life once you do have a kid or make some major life changes, to the point where like some people are totally comfortable with the 9-to-5 and then doing this on the side. That's totally cool. And that's 100% respectable. I know plenty of dudes who still work in the audio industry who also work a 9-to-5, not because of any one thing, but they just don't like certain dealings, how people get paid through labor. Like they don't like dealing with net 30, net 60. And so because of that, they have a 9-to-5 for their regular bills. And then they do this on the weekends. That's totally cool. But genuinely speaking, they still love what they do so much that even though they made like as far as a majority of their income career change, they still continually do it. They find time to make it happen. So if you think that having a kid is going to eat up so much of your fucking time that it's not going to be possible, just look at DK and then say that again.
Yeah, that's true. I don't have any time. Definitely not enough time to run a marathon or anything like that.
No,
anyway,
it's not like DK can't play sports and do mixing, play video games and have fun with his kids at the same time. I mean, who does that?
Right. There's a lot to be said about, I will not take full credit for that. There's a lot to be said about an incredibly
like,
supportive
solo
spouse.
Setups and dual setups. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to say an incredibly supportive spouse. I married a Japanese woman. I'll say less. All right.
DK just said, shout out to all the weebs out there.
Yeah. Let's see. I am in a little bit of a special position to talk about one thing. I do tend to, you know, connect with people with similar values. That means other outliers within our industry living in LA that have had kids, more than one, young, I relate to. It's easier to become friends with. I will say I've talked to a lot of people, not a lot, because there's not a lot of us to begin with. Many people with kids that had kids young that are currently doing well or trying to do well in this industry. Mm-hmm. Some common factors. At no point have any, and this might be total just rejection of themselves here, But there's no reason to believe that anybody with kids that young, the kids is the reason to getting married young, having kids young is the reason why they haven't done well. In fact, I would say it's a very small sample size, Lou. So there's a lot of bias in this. It's not very transparent information. All the people that are doing well, all the people that are colleagues of mine that have kids young, they're all the most balanced.
Okay.
I will say that. They're above average as far as perceived balance. They're above average in contribution to the industry. There's obviously people with kids that are doing very, very bad, but also people that have kids that weren't going to make it anyway, kind of don't want to say give up on their dreams earlier. That's like a very pessimistic, cynical way of thinking about it. Mm-hmm. But more of they either double down and work harder in their chosen career or, mm-hmm. Take a moment to self-realize that, oh, this might not be for them. And it's actually better for everybody, including themselves, to just get a day job. So anybody that has kids in this industry, most of them, like above average levels of cool, personally biased, very small sample size. I've told you before. So if you are afraid that, having kids is going to ruin your career, I actually think the opposite. If this career is meant for you, you will more than likely work harder and have more reason to work harder. You'll have more pressure to do well. You'll have an ikigai, like a reason to do things. And it'll actually, like, if you talk to anybody, like me and who's the guy that the Russian dude that is always doing, like, what's your secret sauce?
Ivan,
right? So Ivan and I, we always joke about this. Every time we see each other, like when he asked me for my secret sauce, I said like having a kid. And then he laughed. He's like, that's right. Because he has like two or three as well. Mm-hmm. And he's like, people don't realize that having kids is an insane motivator. Yeah. Like you will self-actualize. You will gain awareness. You'll work harder. You will become a more authentic. You'll have more compassion. Your heart will grow. Your values will change and adjust. I honestly think net positive. Like, I don't think I would be where I am today without having kids. Like, I really don't think. And this goes along to outside of the scope of career, which is usually reduced down to accolades and income. I'm talking about general states of happiness and purpose and meaning, general state of not being depressed and and having things to look forward to, external pressures that push me forward. There is very little. So if you're thinking about having a child, I will say that the very, very, very small sample size that I'm pulling from also, practically speaking, come from married spouses. So that's another thing too. The demographic, I will state generally. I do not want people to weaponize this information or take it the bad way. It does change with outside of marriage. Like having, like if you have kids on the weekend, it's different. I do not perceive it the same way. That's probably more of a reflection of how I perceive things than the reality of what is. And I kind of regret even saying this. I think that part of the reality of doing well and balancing well is the understanding of commitment. And commitment doesn't mean making the right choice. It means making the best choice for your situation and sticking to it. Mm-hmm. It means loyalty. And if you're the type of person that realize, like, that doesn't mean that you don't try to find the best partner, I'm not saying that you, what do you call, settle? That's the word.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you settle. What I'm saying is you commit, right?
Yeah.
And that form of commitment is reflective in your work and your ethic. That loyalty, value of loyalty is reflective in your work and your work-life balance in the future.
What's crazy is like, this obviously looks different in your everybody's situation. But, you know, when I told my wife, because I've told everybody, you know, like when we got out of In the Mix and, you know, I was feeling a little bit of burnout, I just wanted to take a break. I took that break. But once I was done with that break, I remember having a conversation with Anna and just being like, hey, I am eagerly ready to be like really busy again, like really busy again. So like, I think I'm going to lose out on a lot of weekends moving forward. But if I do this right, and if I actually, you know, keep myself to what I'm like, what my personal goals and what my metrics are focused on, then this is going to go really well. And I'm glad to say that so far, each milestone has been hit in a timeline that I wanted it to. I've, you know, crossed over certain points, but at first it is a little bit hard, but having somebody who can support, not can support you, because that's not the right wording, because that sounds like they're paying your bills and shit. But what I'm saying is like that can go through the thick of it with you does help a lot. If you're on your own, the same sense of commitment to it is there, but it is going to be a bit harder, you know. Like we've got people who, you know, are single mothers, single fathers, whatever, you know, and for one reason or another, that's the situation they're in. But the thing that keeps running in my mind when I'm working is the want to be able to give Anna as much as I can. You know what I mean? Like my goal is not motivated by a specific end goal, but rather an ability to be able to provide more in a way that I feel like I want to, not that I have to or need to, or, you know what I mean? Like it's not a FOMO situation of going on Instagram and being like, damn, I wish I had that big ass house. It's like, no, I want a nice house too. Sure. But I want our house. You know what I mean? Right. So I'm willing to work really fucking hard for that.
Cool.
But it's not because I want to work really hard because I need a plaque. And then every time I do a record and it doesn't get a plaque that I'm demotivated. It's like, no, I'm out here. I am working. I am doing my right thing. But that commitment looks different based off of your reasoning and the love you have for what you do.
Right.
And that's totally okay.
I want to go back to what I said and properly articulate. the nuance of that. Because what I'm not saying is that it is better to that you should be willing to accept abuse to stay committed in a relationship, right? Yeah. I am talking to an abstract audience about an abstract concept. Ideally, if I had any advice, which I have no place to give, it would be based completely on the situation, right?
Yeah.
I am talking about an abstract concept, and here's how I perceive the setting of which I'm giving this advice. I perceive that with low birth rates, men and women having children at much older ages, more because of that, more regular birth defects, non-normal birthing situations, things like this. People just waiting longer in general. We also have the benefit of that is that we have lower divorce rates. In general, I perceive that the current abstract state of American society is at this current time has more of a problem of committing than they have a problem of committing too early, which was a problem a few decades ago.
Yeah.
And so I'll probably, that's what I'm saying about right now. Like I'm not talking about your individual situation.
Oh.
It seems to me that in this current state of time, there's not enough talk or perspective to balance out and advice about commitment. And so that's why I brought that up. There is some cool data, and I read this for a while ago, and I Googled this to confirm. Mm-hmm. You can Google this yourself. There is, however, cool data that indicates that creatives in long-term relationships often experience higher levels of or more sustained creativity along with better emotional stability. Research shows that stable long-term romantic relationships can enhance creative output, foster cognitive flexibility, and provide a secure base that supports collaborative artistic work. Key findings on long-term relationships for creatives, there's increased creativity and originality. Women in long-term relationships have demonstrated statistically significant higher creativity in both fluency and originality compared to those in short-term relationships, says the National Institutes of Health.gov. The rose-tinted glasses effect. Creativity allows partners in long-term relationships to see each other in a more favorable light, increasing feelings of attraction, confidence, and contentment, according to designthyself.com. Reduce conflict through creativity. Long-term partners can use creative engagement such as share. That's different. That's a different topic. I don't know why that was included in the list. Let's see. Conversely, some studies suggest that intensive focus on artistic endeavors may make some individuals more prone to being single or in short-term relationships. However, when creatives actively integrate their passions with their partners through shared activities or emotional support, they often experience a more stable, nourishing creative life. So, as creatives, we're statistically less likely to be in long-term relationships, but actually gain the most from them. As far as output goes.
That's kind of funny. It's like, hey, this is kind of diamond in the rough situation for you. Less likely for it to actually be a thing. But if you happen to find somebody, benefits. Yeah.
I want to be careful with what, like, trying to derive what that means. Like, I need to read the actual reports. I'm not going to say, like, get married quick. That's the lesson to learn. I'm not sure. I would say that hopefully something in your heart resonates. Your heart resonates in one direction or another, because everybody on the inside knows what they should do. I believe that if people in general have the capability to know what they're supposed to do, and sometimes the defense mechanism of like projecting something is actually your ego protecting what you really want, or like you haven't processed what you really want. I think that if you can surpass yourself, you actually know what's good for you, what you really want. And so what I'm saying is encouraging you to take the time to build some awareness, to look past your ego, to figure out what it is that you actually want that is good for you. And I'm suggesting that these identities that you cling to, that kids actually, for example, one person might say that having a family or kids would prevent me from reaching my goals. Not necessarily true. And I think that the people who say that know that.
And
that's the reason they wouldn't say a declarative statement like that unless they internally understood some sort of truth to the opposite. That's just how projection works. So it's fascinating. Anyway, do what you need to do. Work-life balance is changing. It's chaotic, and life is chaotic. Do not think that the stress of the solution to the stress of uncertainty is certainty.
It's actually the poison of it.
That is not the case. The solution to uncertainty is accepting uncertainty, accepting the role that it plays in your life. That's the point of work-life balance. Things are always changing, and that's a good thing, or that's a neutral thing. Things are neutral.
It is not.
Things are not in this dualistic state of good or bad, good or evil. Things are how they are. We're dealt a hand. We create our own hand. We play the game. And there is no way we cannot treat the future like we treat the past. When we look at the past, we see clearly what the right decisions should have been. We cannot treat the present and the future the same way. Nobody has a clue what the right decision is. Many people believe that they have an idea, including myself. But all of us are testing our ideas currently. And we will find our results later. Be comfortable with not knowing. Accept the idea of not knowing. Accept the idea of uncertainty. Accept the idea of a forever impermanent state of life. That's how it is. That's how it is, and that's how it always will be. And our brains are built to be uncomfortable with that truth.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That being said, I'm pretty certain that the Dodgers will win the World Series again.
There's that certainty.
Yeah. But I mean, let's talk about this as a example.
Yeah.
Like, let's say I'm really certain that the Dodgers are going to win again. What is that really saying?
That you have no control over it, but yet you have a lot of faith in it.
Yeah, like maybe I'm scared that they won't. I've tied myself so much to the identity of being a Dodger fan that
There's ups and downs. I will tell you that as an LA native, there are ups and downs in being a hard fan.
That's totally true. Just look at Kershaw's career. Anyway, let's see here. On that note, thanks so much for listening. Sorry we didn't have too much like practical advice this episode. I always try to advance and do practical advice. Oh, I do have one practical advice thing to say. It's kind of unrelated. Wipe. What?
Don't forget to wipe.
Use wipes. Don't forget to wipe. Yeah. I was going to say, dude, I've actually been...
person.
I've been trying to, before having the kid, I've been trying to sit in on engineer sessions, like just watching other people mix. So helpful.
Yeah.
Insanely helpful. Just go ask a friend to watch them mix. They might say no. They might not respond. But if they do, dude, just quietly watch. Dude, it's been so helpful for me to get out of my own mind to confirm some things that I've thought or like to see how somebody else processes decisions, including practical things like how they communicate with clients and how they perceive their own position within a project, creatively speaking. It's just really good. I recommend doing that. Yeah. That was really good. That's a whole episode in itself. And I'm going to continue to shadow more people, especially after things calm down. I'm having a third baby. How crazy is that? In LA, on purpose.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, I feel crazy. But I also feel, here's another thing too, and I'll end on this, is that especially being in LA where it's not normal for people my age to have children, especially the number of children that I have, when I go into a store, I cannot, or like see other people. I take my kids to school and notice that everybody's like at least a decade older than me. I cannot help but feel wealthy.
The key word there is not rich, wealthy.
I feel insanely wealthy. And I don't know what that means. I'm projecting something. There's something that, but I cannot help but feel so blessed, so wealthy, so good. Because for me, it is damn near certain that I am making the right decision. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. Anyway, do what you need to do. Everybody's lives are different. Everybody's life is different. But that's what... thanks for listening to this episode about work-life balance. Go check out the exclusive episodes of the podcast for an ad-free experience or for more practical, technical episodes with James and me. And on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy. Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Come join our Discord. The Mixing Music Discord server is filled with tons of awesome information and people that can help you out and information that can help you grow your business and to help you improve your mixes. So come join us and find the invitation link at mixingmusicpodcast.com.